Welcome to Frankly Speaking. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. Some of the nation's top physical fitness and sports experts will meet at George Mason for the National Capital Regional Clinic on Physical Fitness and Sports later this month. It is the first of its kind to be held in the state of Virginia. The conference is being sponsored by the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, the Virginia Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, and George Mason's Department of Health and Physical Education. With me to discuss the National Clinic and some of its highlights is Dr. Julian Stein, Clinic Director and a Professor of Physical Education at George Mason. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Dr. Stein. What is the purpose of the National Clinic?
Well, the major purpose is to provide individuals, regardless of their area of interest, their background, their experience, with opportunities to see and hear what is the latest in the fitness area in terms of activities, methods, innovations, applications in many different types of activities, and in also not only hearing but seeing the latest in research applied to practice.
Now, how will the conference service the community?
Well, in many ways. Directly in terms of the contributions that teachers, community, those in community recreation and youth serving agencies, even participants themselves, have an opportunity to find out some of the new approaches, recent ideas that they can use in incorporating into their own programs, in making existing programs better, those things that can be used in developing a new program. Indirectly, it will be certainly through the increase that everyone will have in having higher quality, more professionally directed opportunities, whether it be in youth sports, in school programs, community-centered programs, senior citizen programs, programs for the handicapped, throughout each and every community.
Let's talk about fitness for a minute. How do you define fitness?
Well, there are probably as many definitions as there are people, but in general, it is felt to be a minimum level of a variety of characteristics: cardiorespiratory, cardiovascular function, muscular strength, muscular endurance, power, agility, coordination, balance, flexibility, and now a much greater emphasis on those things that could be called health-related. Again, cardiovascular, cardiorespiratory, endurance, flexibility, certain types of muscular endurance, and now an increasing emphasis on not just weight control, but on the relationship of the proportion of muscle to total weight, or the relationship of body fat to total weight. In this, regardless of the approach, the individual needs minimum levels so that they can get through whatever their responsibilities are in a day, and then have sufficient reserves to improve, to increase the quality of their life through active participation in recreational and leisure activities, and then still have an additional reserve so that they can attack any reserve, any emergency situations that may occur.
Statistically, how fit are Americans as a whole?
Well, there's not a lot of information on adults. Most of the information on adults would be relating to cardiovascular, cardiorespiratory, and this is in kind of a negative standpoint from the high rate of incidence of heart attacks and cardiovascular, cardiorespiratory related conditions. However, in the last few years, there has been a reduction, a substantial reduction in these areas, and many people attribute it to the fact that larger number of people are being physically active in particularly aerobic kinds of activities, in jogging, in walking. In fact, I really think, and many people feel, that walking is the conditioning activity for the 80s. And in Japan, they've done a lot of very highly controlled and scientific research showing the contributions of walking and how it does not have many of the dangers or many of the injury potential that jogging and running has. But swimming, cycling, dancing is a super aerobic activity. But the major statistics are related to school-centered. And in fact, there's a national study that is just getting underway to reevaluate and to determine not only what is the fitness status of school-age children, but what do they do in their non-school time? Are they as inactive and sedentary as people say? Do they spend as much time with TV games and in the TV computer game centers that people say? How much are they involved in active, vigorous physical activity?
What are some of the workshops and sessions that are going to be featured during the conference?
Well, there are sessions that will appeal to virtually anyone, regardless of their interest, their background, their experience. There are, of course, a large number of sessions designed for school-centered physical education teachers or for classroom teachers who have the responsibility for conducting physical education classes. There will be other sessions that will deal with the application of fitness principles through instructing various sports, specifically tennis, racquetball, soccer, track and field, and badminton. There will be other sessions that will deal with nutrition, applications of sports medicine. There will be sessions relating to integrating or mainstreaming handicapped kids into regular school-centered physical education programs, both at the elementary and secondary school levels. There will be sessions dealing with the application to senior citizens. There will be one session on what is called aquadynamics, which is the application of fitness principles in a water or swimming pool environment.
Let's talk about one of the workshops or sessions that you just mentioned, sports medicine. What exactly is sports medicine?
Generally, it's the application of medical principles and medical techniques into the sports field, using the full range of medical expertise to not only improve performance, but to make participation safer. And it's not, as some people feel erroneously, that it's simply the dealing with individuals or bringing in the medical profession at a time when there are injuries. It's a marrying of a number of areas. It's not just medicine, but it brings in the whole area of biomechanics.
There's been quite a controversy surrounding the fitness of athletes in competitive sports like football, basketball, and soccer. What exactly is the controversy?
Well, there are many people who feel that because an individual participates in a competitive sport, that this in and of itself is going to make that individual a fit individual. And that simply is not true. In fact, there is a saying that an individual does not play a sport to get fit. The individual gets fit to be able to play the sport.
But isn't this a popular misconception?
Very, very definitely. And I think that probably many parents feel that their children, because they're participating in youth sports and maybe participating in youth sports year-round, are fit. Well, part of this is an erroneous idea that they feel because the individual is participating that they are gaining the degrees of the various components of fitness so that they are, in fact, fit. But if you look at most sports, particularly team sports. How active is the individual? They have opportunities in the game where they are really, in most cases, inactive more than they're active. Take in football, mm-hmm. where a play may go 4 or 5 seconds, and then the team is back in the huddle for 20, 25 seconds. And so that there is not the sustained effort that is necessary. Soccer has a great opportunity for developing cardiovascular, cardiorespiratory fitness. However, soccer doesn't do much in and of itself for developing muscular strength, muscular endurance, and some of the other components that are equally important. Someone who's involved in, say, a weight training program or weight lifting, that this does very little, if anything, for cardiorespiratory, cardiovascular fitness. So if we're concerned with a balance, a comprehensive type of fitness, we have to plan it. And so if an individual is in a sport where it builds through that sport one of the components, then we need to make sure that this is supplemented.
One final question, Dr. Stein. There's going to be an opening night gala that's going to feature a number of community groups. Tell me about some of the groups.
Well, in many ways, the gala and the clinic itself complement and supplement each other. The clinic is designed to help those become better teachers, leaders, instructors, coaches. A representative of some of the groups would be the Oakview Elementary School Exhibition Gymnastics team from Fairfax County. And this is a team that has put on exhibitions in a number of places throughout the state, throughout the metropolitan Washington area. They've been on television.
What are some of the other groups?
There's a group from White Oaks Elementary School, also in Fairfax, which was the first jump rope demonstration team in the state of Virginia. They not only put on exhibitions themselves, but they train other groups to put on exhibitions and demonstrations. And this is tied in with Jump Rope for Heart, which is a national program co-sponsored by the American Heart Association and the American Alliance for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance. A group of senior citizens that participates regularly in programs here at George Mason on Tuesdays and Thursdays is going to present a kaleidoscope of what they do every Tuesday and Thursday, including cardiovascular, cardiorespiratory, aerobic kinds of activities, stretching, flexibility, recreational leisure activities, and you'll be able to see in a capsule form what they do as a means of not only staying in better condition and slowing down the aging process, making them feel better, improve their quality of life. A team that is called the UFOs, which is sponsored by the National Orthopedic Hospital, which is in the top 20 teams nationally, is going to put on a wheelchair basketball demonstration. And since they are gradually or now moving into the wheelchair track season, they're going to show some of the things that can be done in a wheelchair in track and field.
Thank you, Dr. Stein. The National Capital Regional Clinic on Physical Fitness and Sports will be held at George Mason on April 28th and 29th. Registration fees range from $3.50 to $8.50 for continuing education credit. For more information concerning the clinic, call 323-2198. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.